There, Srila Gurudev, who's the author of the song, says, "Therefore, O mind, worship and serve him at every moment. Without Guru's mercy, we have no strength in our sadhana." So, theoretically, everything that we do during the day is supposed to be our sadhana. Even when we're cooking, when we're cleaning, it's all sadhana if we do it for the purpose of getting bhava bhakti. If we have any other purpose in doing it, I want to please my husband or my children, or I just like when things look good, then it's not sadhana. But if in everything we do, the purpose is to achieve bhava bhakti for attaining prema bhakti, which is actually the only reason that any activity should be done, then that's sadhana. And to have strength to make it sadhana and not be a mundane activity, for that, Guru's mercy is required. So Srila Gurudev is saying in his song, therefore, O mind, worship and serve him at every second. Then in the last verse, we have all the Shrutis and Smritis and Puranas all describe Guru's mercy. Therefore, offering my body and mind and life to the feet of Guru, I incessantly sing Harinam. That means, as I'm singing Harinam, I'm also incessantly praying for the mercy of Guru. As we discussed the other night, Gurudev said at the airport recently that only out of everybody in the disciplic succession, only our Gurudev doesn't care whether we have an arches or not, in terms of his hearing us and answering, or he being responsible to beseech all the other personalities in this songbook, beseech them and they will hear him, beseech them to fulfill our spiritual desires. So therefore, incessantly and at every moment, worshipping and remembering Guru. So these very beautiful prayers and songs in the songbook tell us exactly how to think about him. So what we'll do today is we'll go over the different prayers and discuss them so that we can remember him in that light. When Gurudev had a festival here some 4 or so years ago, he began by, on the first day, by glorifying Sri Guru, and then he ended his class by saying, so today is Gurudev. And then all the rest of the classes were all about Guru and how Guru is more intimate with us than our own soul. So then, after Gurudev gave that class, the next morning I asked him, that I don't feel like this, that you're more intimate with me than my own soul, but rather I feel guilty whenever I see you, that I'm not serving nicely and I'm not chanting nicely. So he said, yes, that's why I gave this class. So you remember that. Just as with Krishna and the gopis, there's no separation at any moment, and yet they're always feeling separation. He said, so we should be like that with Guru. Once he said to me on the phone when we were in different countries, that you should think of yourself and Guru as intimate as water and its wetness and fire and its heat, that much inseparable and close. So since he's always there, and since he's our only connection with anything, this topic of remembering him through the mantras and songs is very important. Okay, so on page 6, Gurudev said this is the best prayer to Guru. Nama shrestam manamati sachi putramatra sarupam rupam tasya vrajam urupari maturi ghostavati radha kundam girivaramaho radhika madhavasam prapto yasya pratitikrupaya sri gurum dhammatosmi. Gurudev said when we sing this prayer, it pinches us a little bit. Because here I'm saying that I'm so indebted to Gurudev because he's given me so many things. He's given me the holy name, which contains the highest thought, aspiration. He's giving me service to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He's brought me to Sarup Damodar, who is Lalita Devi. He brought me to Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami. He gave me Radhakund and Giriraj Govardhan. So I bow my head and offer the deepest respect to him. So Gurudev said, this pinches us when we utter this prayer because we haven't really received that from Guru due to our lack of qualification. So he said that whenever we utter a prayer saying that I've already gotten something that I haven't gotten, then I can put a P.S. at the end that, oh Gurudev, please give me these things and make me able to actually say this prayer as a reality. Then, see, we can't do anything without Guru. In Badger, I asked him at the end of one class, suppose we're distributing books, and I distribute a book to somebody, and then I think to myself, not in a puffed up way, but just as a matter of fact thing, oh, I just distributed a book. Who really distributed that book? Just like Brahma, the reason I asked that question is because during the class, Gurudev was saying how Brahma thought that he was stealing the cows and calves of Krishna and the coward boys. But really, he was, you could say forced to do so, or you could say inspired by Krishna's yoga maya, by Krishna's desire to do that, in order that so many loving pastimes could take place. Because in that way, Krishna could become the cows, the calves rather, and then the cows could have Krishna as their children. And the other elderly gopis always loved Krishna more than they did their own sons. So now they could have Krishna as their sons. And this way, Krishna could be the cowherd boys that the gopis were betrothed to, so that really they didn't marry anybody but Krishna anyway. And so their paramour love was pure. It would have been pure anyway, but this is an argument against those who think that paramour love of Radha and Krishna and the gopis is not pure. So anyway, Brahma thought that he was stealing the calves and coward boys, but actually, Yogamaya made it happen. So that, therefore I asked Gurudev, if we're doing something, like distributing a book, who really distributed the book? So Gurudev said, Gurudev distributed the book. You can't do anything. And another time, he said, if you're giving a class, or if you're sharing some Hare Katha with other people, it's not really your knowledge because you haven't realized it. You're just parroting it. If it's your knowledge, like, I am this body, I'm such and such years old, that's, on one hand, that's illusion, but on the other hand, you could say that's my knowledge because I've actually experienced that. But I haven't experienced the revelations in Hare Katha. So therefore, it's Guru's knowledge. So if I don't give the credit, if I don't give the credit to Gurudev, then I have to fall down. Once, every year, sometimes I'm at Gurudev's festival and sometimes between the festivals, I travel to other places and then meet up with him at his festival. So one year I was doing this about 5 years ago, and in the different places I was getting donations and selling books also. And so when I reached him, I had an envelope full of a lot of money for him. So when I gave him the money, he said, "By this you won't fall down, by knowing that if you're getting any money, it's not your credit." So like he said, suppose you give a class and then somebody says, "Oh, here's a big donation, you gave such a good class." Then if I think, yes, I've given a good class and I keep the money, then I fall down. So I have to give it to the person who really gave the class. Gurudev told the story of when he was young, and his before he was a sannyasi, he and one or two other devotees were ordered to travel, I think it was in Assam, and one of the devotees was keeping the, I think he was Nisringa Brahmachari, he was keeping the money that the devotees on the preaching tour were collecting. So he gave most of the money to Param Gurudev, Srila Bhakti Pragyan Kesha Goswami Maharaj, but he didn't give all of it. So when Gurudev was telling his Gurudev about their preaching successes, he said, "Now we collected such and such amount of money." And then Param Gurudev understood, "That's not what I got." So then he called that devotee who was collecting, holding onto the money, and he said, "You didn't give me all the money." And he chastised him. So then that devotee became angry. And he said, "I wasn't keeping it for myself, I was keeping it for our future expenses, for our preaching, so that I wouldn't have to ask you." But still, Param Gurudev insisted that he give the money. So angrily he went and got the money and gave it to him. And then Param Gurudev put the money in his pocket, and then took it out of his pocket and gave it to him, and he said, "I took the poison out of it, because it was given to me first, now you can use it." I'm sorry? So everything is the credit of Guru. So we're singing in the songs that I can't do any chanting, I can't do any sadhana without your mercy. So all mind, please worship Gurudev at every moment. And then the mind might say, "Well, that gets pretty boring, just thinking of the same thing." But there are so many things to think about Gurudev, both in his sadhak form and in his siddha form. So then the next prayer, Namaste Gurudevaya Sarva Siddhi Pradayane Sarva Mangala Rupaya Sarva Nanda Vidayane. I offer pranams to Gurudev, who is the embodiment of all auspiciousness, who bestows all spiritual perfection and all spiritual happiness. So then I meditate, what is the all auspiciousness? What is the all perfection? And what is the all happiness? Then I can force my mind to remember different things that are auspicious about Guru, that he's the embodiment of all auspiciousness. One thing, he's the embodiment of all knowledge. And then I can remember that he's the manifestation of Vyasadeva, as we'll be discussing in a few days on his Vyasa Puja Day. He's the embodiment of Nityananda Prabhu. He's the embodiment of, the manifestation of Nityananda Prabhu. So then who is Nityananda Prabhu? he's Baladev, then I can think of the pastimes of Baladev and know that Gurudev is actually a manifestation of that. He's also a manifestation of Srimati Radhika. Then I can think of things that I've heard about her and her pastimes and the fact that she's in control of even Krishna. So there's so many things that I can remember that I can force my mind, as Krishna says in the Gita, from whatever and wherever the mind may wander, due to its flickering and unsteady nature, one must certainly withdraw it and bring it back under the control of the self. When we were in Boston in the late 1960s, I went with Prabhupada to an engagement in one of the universities in Boston. So somebody asked him at the end of the class, what does Krishna consciousness mean? So Prabhupada said, if the teacher says do it conscientiously, what does that mean? It means do it with attention. So Krishna consciousness means with attention on Krishna. So here, in relation to Guru, there's so many things to think about with each phrase of his glorification. Then, Hey Sri Guru Gyanadadina Bandho Swananda Datta Karunaika Sindho Vrindavanasi Namitavataram Prasida Radha Pranaya Pracharam. You bestow transcendental knowledge. What does that mean? It means that he bestows knowledge of all the pastimes, pragyan. He's the servant of Bhakti Pragyan. Pra means all and always. And Gyan means knowledge. Knowledge of Bhagavat Tattva, Maya Tattva, Guru Tattva, Prem Tattva, which includes Sneha, Man, Pranaya, Bhav, Mahabhav, Madanaki Mahabhav. All that is in transcendental knowledge. You're the friend of the fallen. That means it's okay. Okay, I am where I am. And who could possibly be my friend if they knew where I was at? That's why I have to put on a nice front all the time, so nobody knows where I'm really at. But Gurudev knows where I'm really at. As he said, I can simply look at your forehead and tell you 10,000 births past and future. So he knows. But still he's my friend, just like so many of you have little babies. And you're holding the babies, and when you're holding the babies up on your shoulder, the baby vomits on you and drools on you and slaps your glasses off and things like that. But still you love the baby. You never lose your love for the baby. It's always there, no matter what the baby does. And you're thinking that my only business is to nourish this baby. So that's how Gurudev is with us. You bestow the spiritual bliss which exists within your own heart. And what kind of bliss is that? According to, I think it's Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, Srila Rupa Goswami is explaining the six leaves. And the last two leaves, which are the leaves of praying, the last two leaves of the creeper of devotion, they are Sandrananda Visheshatma. That means intense, unlimited bliss of being in the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. And Krishna Karshana. That means the bliss that exists in the heart of Guru is so makes him so enchanting, so attractive, that Krishna himself becomes enchanted and attracted by that Guru. If you read in the Guru Devatatma book, in one of the lectures that he gave, which is called Guru is Heavier Than God, Gurudev explains that just as Krishna bows down to Radhika and says, Smaragadalakandanam, Mamashirishimandanam, Dehi Pataparavam Udara, that I am falling down at your feet. You can please put your feet on my head. So Gurudev does the same thing to, I'm sorry, Krishna does the same thing to Gurudev. He falls at the feet of Guru and to please him and begs Gurudev in his Sakhi form to please inspire Radhika to give Krishna his favor, her favor. So he's a resident of Vrindavan. As I mentioned the other night, in Fiji, when Balaram Prabhu gave Gurudev a jasmine flower and said, "This jasmine flower is from Goloka Vrindavan, Gurudev." And Gurudev said, "I'm also from there." So all of our Guru Varga, all of our disciplic succession, are all residents of Vrindavan. And 24 hours a day, they're engaged in participating and assisting Srimati Radhika in her unlimited pastimes with Krishna. Radha and Krishna are in unlimited places at the same time, and so is Gurudev. You know what I'm going to say next, Asanti? Want to guess? Gurudev said, "Somebody once asked me a question that nobody had ever asked me before. Where is Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur now?" And I gave an answer that I never gave before. I answered that he's everywhere in every atom, because Krishna Govinda Madhi Purusham Tamam Bhajami Andantarastam Paramanu Jayantarastam. Govinda is in every atom playing his pastimes, and Guru has to be everywhere too with Govinda, otherwise how is he going to serve him in all his pastimes? So Sri Guru is in unlimited places in Vrindavan, and Vrindavan itself is unlimited, and it's also in unlimited places, in unlimited universes in this material world with Krishna's Roja. And Gurudev is expanded in all of them. He's in unlimited universes simultaneously. So he's a resident of Vrindavan and the incarnation of auspiciousness. Krishna is very busy playing with the cows and the coward boys. So he's too busy to turn to us and give us too much attention. But his auspicious mercy takes the shape. You know, you make a shape out of clay or things. So if you make a shape out of Krishna's auspiciousness, his mercy, that shape is Sri Guru. And he preaches about Srimati Radhika's love for Krishna. That's why he's dictating, and then his devotees are editing so many books about the love of Radha and Krishna, like Ujjala Nilamani, Prem Samput, Chamatkar Chandrika, and so many other beautiful books. Dita Govinda. And then the next prayer. And we remember that Gurudev himself wrote that song, Guru Charana Kamala Bhajaman. O mind, worship and remember Sri Guru at every moment. No matter who I'm singing to, in fact, no matter who I'm speaking to. Suppose I'm speaking to Gopali. I'm supposed to tell my mind that I'm supposed to worship and remember my Guru even when I'm speaking to Gopali Devi, because that's within the moments, and I'm supposed to worship at every moment. We were just reading, I'm trying to initiate someone. I myself have become an initiating guru, and my only disciple is Pebbles, the dog of Srimati. So I'm always trying to think of a new name. So I had to think of a name that sounds like Pebbles. So I thought of Bulbi, because it sounds like Pebbles. So I asked the Sankey to look in the folio and see if there was anything about Bulbi. So she found that Prabhupada actually has a disciple named Bulbi, and Prabhupada had written a letter to Bulbi. Apparently Bulbi had told Prabhupada that she was feeling, she was missing him. So Prabhupada wrote to her that the fact that you're feeling separation from me is very good, because without feeling separation from Guru, you can't feel separation from Krishna. By feeling separation from Guru, that eventually turns into separation from Krishna and Radha. It doesn't go away, but it just becomes that as well. Just like Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, he wrote this very beautiful Valab Kusmanjali prayer, 108 beautiful verses to Srimati Radhika asking for service. But he's also praying to his Gurudev, Srila Rupa Goswami, and feeling, as his song says, O Rupa Goswami, now that you're gone, I feel like Vrindavan has become just like a desert, and Radhakund has become just like, what was it? The mouth of a tiger? And Govardhan Hill has become just like a big mouth of a python that's all ready to devour me. I feel completely lost and desolate without you. So Prabhupada was writing that, and Gurudev also stated in his Valab Kusmanjali classes. Is that your baby?
Yeah.
Really? Wow, thanks. Beautiful. So, what's your baby's name?
Shiramani.
Shiramani, like Ramani Shiramani? Yeah. Where are we? Right, and what about him? Every moment we remember Gurudev. Balabi, right. So in Gurudev's Valab Kusmanjali class, he was saying that by first feeling separation from Gurudev, and when it becomes very intense and constant, then we can have separation for Srimati Radhika, like Srila Raghunath Das Goswami, who on the bank of Radhakunda is always rolling and weeping. There's another song in the back of the songbook to Gurudev, and one of your godbrothers was singing this song during the Bhajan's time in front of Gurudev in New Zealand. And that song is Gurudev Kripa Karke. Where does it say I'm alone? Oh yes, the last verse. Please don't forget me because I am alone. I'm a beggar at your door. Please do not ignore me. My boat is caught in a whirlpool. Please take me across this turbulent ocean. Please shower your mercy on me because you are renowned as the storehouse of mercy. Oh my Lord, only then will my sleeping fortune wake up. I have no fortune unless you give me that mercy of bhakti and service of your lotus feet. So the devotee was singing that song. The devotee was singing that song, O Gurudev, I'm alone. O Gurudev, my boat is caught in a whirlpool. Please take me across that turbulent ocean of material existence. And then at the end of the song, Gurudev said, "Do you really feel like that? Do you really feel like you're alone? And that your boat is caught in a whirlpool? Or do you feel satisfied with family and children and job and friends and god brothers and god sisters?" He said, "When you really feel alone, when you really feel like my boat is caught in a whirlpool, and you're really begging and knowing that until you give me your mercy, my fortune is sleeping. I have no fortune. No matter what happens to me, it's not fortunate until I get your mercy." He said, "So then Krishna will, and Guru will bestow that mercy." We've been talking about the prayers to Guru in the song book since he's coming. Then, Jaya Swabho Jagannatha Guru Samsara Vanina Dabdhammam Kaladastam Tam Chatamaham Sharanam Gataha. O Gurudev, master of this world, seeing that material existence is like a blazing forest fire, I'm going to repeat something that I said at the beginning, because many came in later, to show our full dependence on Guru. I asked him at the airport in New Zealand, when he was leaving New Zealand, who listens to us when we offer prayers, whether it's to Lalita Devi or Sarup Damodar or Bhaktivinod Thakur or anybody, who's hearing us? That is Srila Bhaktivinod Thakur close enough to hear us? Or is Sarup Damodar Prabhu close enough to hear us? Surely Lalita's not, because Gurudev said that already previously, that Super Soul is hearing us. So when I asked that question, Gurudev said, Guru is hearing you, because only he doesn't consider you're an artist. Everybody else, we have to be Sharanagat or surrendered for them to hear us. But Guru, for Guru, it doesn't matter. So master of this world, master, he has all eight mystic powers. And that, according to the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, is only a very insignificant byproduct of his glory. The fact that he can go like this and reach out to another planet and get a fruit. The fact that he can become heavier than a universe or lighter than an atom, bring anyone under his control. These are all very insignificant powers of his by dint of his devotion. When we were in Bali, oh, so many years ago, I asked Gurudev, what does it mean when we utter the Jayadwani prayer, Jai Sri Sri Guru Gauranga, what is it, 108 Sri's, Astotra Sutta, Sri, Srimad. Why do we say Astotra Sutta Sri to Guru? So Astotra Sutta, he said, means 108, 108. Of course, there are many answers that he could have given, but this is what he gave on that particular day. 1 and 8 equals 9. And 9 is actually the highest number, because after 9 comes 1 and 0 again. So Sri Guru has the highest number of Sris. Astotra Sutta Sri. So what are the Sris? Sri means opulences. And there are 6 opulences in this world and also in the spiritual world. Beauty, strength, knowledge, renunciation, fame,
and wealth.
So these are the opulences in this world. So Sri Guru has all those opulences in full. And then there are mystic Sris, as mentioned, all the mystic cities. And then, in Vaikuntha, you might remember that when Lord Brahma was meditating on the Lord when he first came, when he was first born, and he was, the aerial voice said, do tapa, tapa, do austerities if you want to know who you are, where you came from. So he meditated for so many celestial years, and then he was able to realize Vaikuntha, and he was able to shake hands with the Lord. And there in Vaikuntha, he saw the Sris of Vaikuntha personified, like spiritual beauty, spiritual strength, spiritual knowledge, all mystic powers. They were all there, chammering, fanning, serving Lord Narayan. We were just reading the other day, Vasanti and I, in the Ramayana, that Sita Devi, who was she giving blessings to? She summoned all of her mystic powers. Who? She summoned her eight mystic powers to bless who? Was it Dasarath? Everybody came to her wedding, and when Dasarath came, Sita summoned her eight mystic powers. So these are not the material eight mystic powers, but her spiritual mystic powers, to go and serve her guests. So they were also in form. And then there's Srimati Radhika, who's also Sri, because she is the source of all Lakshmis. Sarva Lakshmi Mayi. All the unlimited Lakshmis, the consorts of Lord Narayan, they're all within Srimati Radhika. And then the final Sri is Sriya, so Bhakti Sriyam. And that Sri is Manjari Bhav. So all those Sris are within Sri Guru. And he puts on a, you could say, a front of looking like an ordinary person who sometimes can't hear what you're asking, and then he has to ask somebody else what you're saying, or he acts like he doesn't know so well the answer, and he says, do what you think best. But actually, all of those powers are within him. It's stated in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam that when Vidura asked Maitreya a particular question. The question was, I think, since the Lord is living as Super Soul in the heart of all living beings, how is it that they're suffering? So then Maitreya made an expression like he was bewildered by the question and didn't know the answer. And then he actually replied the answer in a whole chapter's worth of verses. So it's stated there in the third canto that sometimes it appears that the spiritual master doesn't know something, but actually he knows every detail of the Lord's creation, both spiritual and material. Whatever Krishna has dominion over, the Guru knows all those details. In the I think it was Easy Journey to Other Planets, Srila Prabhupada wrote that just as if a person knows all the details of the actual tree, there's the leaves and the branches and the fruits and the flowers and the little bumblebees and the butterflies and the bark. If he can see that, then it's not very difficult for him to understand the details of the shadow of the tree on the ground. So similarly, Yasmin Bhagyantam Sarvamevam Bhagyantam Bhavati. One who knows Krishna, he knows all the details of the spiritual world, and it's very easy for him to understand everything of the material world. So regarding his being more intimate than our own soul, and closer to us than our own soul, that means when he comes in here, he'll be walking in here in just a few days. So then we don't think, oh, look, he's looking over at them and he's not looking over at me, and he's smiling and saying something to them, and he's embracing that one, he's not doing anything to me. But rather, we think, oh, my heart and soul has just walked into the room. Oh, my heart and soul is speaking to that devotee. How great. And then we always feel connected. So, seeing that material existence is just like a blazing forest fire, which resembles the devouring teeth of Yamaraj, I take shelter of you and appeal to you for deliverance. So he has that power that just by his well-wishing, just by his touch, and just by his glance, he can deliver us from the devouring teeth of Yamaraj and the blazing fire of material existence. Gurudev said in so many histories, we find that the disciple is also a pure devotee like the guru, and he's just posing as a conditioned soul who the guru is delivering. But Gurudev said in the history of Jana Sharma and Gop Kumar, Jana Sharma was really and truly a conditioned soul. And Gop Kumar, his Gurudev, he was from Goloka Vrindavan. He was sent personally. He was a coward boy and sent personally by Srimati Radhika to be this Jana Sharma's spiritual master. So first he was giving him all kinds of knowledge about everything, all different tattvas. And Jana Sharma was hearing, and he had faith in his Gurudev. Because his Gurudev told him his own life history about how he came to his perfection. But even though he had faith in his guru and he was hearing all the tattvas, it was all intellectual understanding. The first time I met Gurudev in Mathura about 15 years ago, I was already preaching around the world on behalf of Prabhupada, and I said to Gurudev, I have a lot of intellectual knowledge, but I don't have any experienced knowledge. So I expected him to say, intellectual knowledge is not everything, which I already was saying myself. But instead, Gurudev said, intellectual knowledge is no knowledge at all. Then he gave the example that suppose I'm hearing that Radha and Krishna are walking through the forest. And as they're walking, the creepers are not waving because of the wind, but the creepers are waving because they're calling over the bees. And the bees are getting intoxicated because they're being called by the creepers. So they go and sit on the creepers, and then they get intoxicated with prema, because everything is made of prema, including the creepers and their aroma. So then he gets intoxicated and starts singing very beautiful songs, glorifying Radha and Krishna as they're walking through the forest. So suppose I'm hearing that. So what will I think? Oh, yeah, I know what that's like. I can remember. I used to have a boyfriend, and we used to walk through the woods like that. I can relate. So that kind of knowledge is no knowledge. Gyan and Vigyan. Gurudev gave the example that suppose you've never in your life seen a rasagula, or to speak of tasted it. But I have realization of rasagula. So I'm trying to share that with you. And I tell you that rasagula is white, spongy, it's about the size of a ping pong ball. It tastes kind of like a combination of honey and an apple. And it bursts in your mouth, and it may drip down the sides of your mouth. So will you really understand a rasagula by that? No. Prabhupada gave another analogy like that about a jackfruit. That a jackfruit looks like a punched-in basketball. It has the, it feels like a man with a 5-day beard, or it feels like an alligator skin. Inside it has the consistency of the gooiness of an egg, and it tastes like the combination of a potato and an apple. Can you understand anything? But wasn't that a pretty good description? But still you can't understand anything. So, why did I say all that? Yes. Question. So he said intellectual knowledge is no knowledge. And then I said, well, my second question was that I've been chanting Hare Krishna for 26 years, but I don't have any taste. How can I get taste? And with all of my God brothers and God sisters' intellectual knowledge, they had always been giving me very good answers, because I would ask them also. And they would quote from the scriptures. But Gurudev answered differently. He was sitting on his bed in Vrindavan, and he sat up very straight, and he said, you have to associate with somebody who has taste, and then you'll get taste. Did you want to say something, Prabhu?
No, I was thinking of this Vrindavan shampoo. How do we understand when we read these incredible descriptions of the trees having, you know, the old made from jewels? And
yeah, we can't get it.
We read them and go, wow.
And we're thinking of our own mind.
No, too dark. Can't bring it in.
Right. So therefore I take shelter of you. Now, I'm reading this verse, therefore I take shelter of you and appeal to you for deliverance. But am I really taking shelter, or am I just saying it and thinking of, I have to write an email to that person, and what did that person do that for? What a mess that created, and what am I going to do now? But I'm singing, Trayas Prabho Jagannatha Guru. So, I don't feel it, but Gurudev gave the example that there's a rock, and I'm going back and forth with my rope on the rock, and it's not making any impression. But I keep going and going and going, and gradually it makes the impression, because it's called sanskar. So by singing and praying that, oh, make this song real for me, gradually, by Guru's mercy, that will come. And then, Radha Sanmukha Sangsaktim Saki Sangha Nivasanim Tamaham Satatam Bande Guru Rupam Padam Sukhim. I forever worship my Guru, forever. Very, very important. I once asked Gurudev, it was on the appearance day of his Gurudev, and they were having a big program in Vrindavan. So I asked, your Gurudev is a self-realized soul, and my Gurudev is a self-realized soul, and Param Gurudev's Gurudev is a self-realized soul. So how do we understand all these statements that he achieved some perfection by the mercy of his Gurudev, when they're all self-realized souls? So Gurudev answered that even in that realm, still the anugachi is there. And that's why Guru Nistha is the backbone of bhakti, and why it's so important. Of course, there's no obeisances like there is here. Gurudev said there the obeisances might be a wink. And by a wink, everything is said. Rupa Manjari may tell Rati Manjari by a glance to go and get Srimati Radhika's waist belt, which she forgot in the cave during her and Krishna's pastimes. And now, if she doesn't have it, then all the sakis will joke with her about it. So just by the glance, which has all the knowledge of a book. In that way they communicate, and that way obeisances are. So I forever worship my guru, who in his form as an exalted Sakhi is happily immersed in the company of Srimati Radhika and the other Sakhis. Are there any questions at this point? Questions or comments? What's your
answer? You're saying we should always remember our guru, and our guru is the only one.
I'm not saying, because I'm not qualified to give an instruction.
Well, if they all say that, all our characters. So I'm wondering, so even when we're hearing from Vaishnavas, serving Vaishnavas, hearing from our Shiksha Guru, serving our Shiksha Guru, really we should be thinking, I'm doing this to please my Guru, I'm doing this on the order of my Guru, is that so in that way we can remember? Or?
That's one way to remember. Or I should be doing, if I have a choice of how to do something, and I can go two ways. Like, for example, if you come over to me later and tell me that I made some siddhantic mistakes in my class, suppose you come over, I can go two ways. I can say, what do you mean I made mistakes? I was just quoting the scriptures. How dare you say I made any mistakes? Or I can say, well, thank you. Please tell me what mistakes I made so that I can please Gurudev better. Please show me. You know, one is the humble way and one is the puffed up way. So I have a choice, and I will think which way will please Gurudev. I may remember something that he said. For example, Srila Rupa Goswami said to Balabhacharya, yes, please edit and find out some mistakes in my manuscript. So in this way, always remembering and praying that this will please you, and please give me the intelligence how to please you. Please order me what to do to please you in this circumstance. Always praying for guidance. Does that answer it?
Yeah. What I was wondering was, like, if we're trying to serve or please a Vaishnava other than our guru, I just wondered, or if you're hearing from Vaishnava other than your guru.
Oh, I understand. I think
maybe to forget your guru, unless you're doing it as a service to your guru. Otherwise, I just, because you were saying you should always remember your guru and always, so I thought, how to understand Vaishnava.
Right, everything is for pleasing and serving our Gurudev. Like, remember the story we told from Gurudev's lecture in Badger? We told this story a couple of nights ago. It's such a wonderful, wonderful story that Ramanujacharya had a disciple. He had many disciples. They were all pure devotees, big scholars, but one of them was a great scholar, but a little proud that he was a great scholar. So Ramanujacharya sent him to serve one of his rich girl disciples, because she had just at the same time come to him and said, I have to wash all the clothes of my husband, all my in-laws, their in-laws, I have to cook, I have to climb up a hill of 2 miles to go to a well, and nobody helps me, and they chastise me if I say I need help. Oh, Gurudev, I need a servant. And Gurudev Ramanujacharya had been thinking, I have to do an operation on this disciple of mine. So then when she said that, he said, oh good, this will be a perfect operation. So he sent the disciple. He said, I want you to serve this girl disciple of mine, and you be her cook, her cleaner, her pot washer, her everything, and carry out all of her orders. So the disciple was a good disciple, so he did that. And for 6 months, and they wouldn't even give him any soap, they were so stingy. So he had a long beard and long hair and dirty, torn, worn clothes. And then after 6 months, a big Digvijay pundit came into town and challenged everybody, let's see you defeat me, and nobody would come over. So he started giving classes of Mayavadi philosophy. And then the disciple, So anyway, the disciple was doing everything that the girl asked, but not for the girl, not for the in-laws, but just to please his guru. And because it was to please his guru, he did everything without a blink of an eye's hesitation of everything he asked. So then he went to that class and he defeated that so-called scholar, and then all the people bowed down to him and realized that he's a great person. And then they told Ramanujacharya, please give him your shelter. What did you do to him? And so then he said to that disciple, now you're a pure devotee. The operation worked, and then he gave him sannyas and he became a good preacher. So yes, that was a good question.
So that, am I right a little on that principle that we should not be thinking that, oh, I have to do so many, I can do a personal service to Gurudev, but that the actual process is to serve those who are serving Gurudev, those who are the highest in Gurudev's regard, and our approach to Gurudev is to serve those devotees.
Is that a question you're asking?
No, but can you speak something about that?
Okay.
I remember I had a discussion with Ashram Maharaj on time, and he was telling me, actually, this is the process in Vrindavan.
This is what?
In Vrindavan, we're having this enlivened discussion that this is actually the process, that we come and we serve those who are most near and dear to Gurudev, not going and thinking, oh, I'm going to serve Gurudev, but serve those who are near and dear and serving him the most. We should serve them.
That's a very good mood, except how do we know who's most dear and near to Gurudev? By his external features and expressions, we can't know. Just like Ramanujacharya sent this disciple to serve the girl and become like a menial, manservant. But he had a big plan for him. But it looked like he was sending him away and for a low service compared to what he could do as a big scholar. But actually, he had big plans for him. Also, another story I think we told the other night. Did we tell this the other night about when Prabhupada Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur came? Okay, so Srila Prabhupada sent some brahmacharis to a city to preach and said, if you do well, then I'll come there and do pranapratistha and stola didi and establish the preaching center. So after some time, they invited Prabhupada to come, and he came and he looked around, and they had the didis all ready to install. And they looked around, he looked around and he said, first he was very pleased at what he saw. And then he said, where's that original brahmachari that I sent? So they said, well, he used to be a good brahmachari, but then he got involved with a woman. So we took care of him, didn't we? We chastised him so bad that he went away. Now he's not contaminating us anymore with his presence. So Prabhupada said, what? You sent him away? It takes me gallons of blood to make one devotee, and then you send him away? If you don't go and get him right now, then I'm going to leave, and I'm not going to install the deities here. So they all felt terrible, and they all went in different directions. So Hayagriva Das Brahmachari found him working in a watch factory, and then he was so repentant. He said, please forgive us. Guru Maharaj is so displeased with us. Guru Maharaj wants to see you. So then that brahmachari just burst. Did I tell that the other night? I did. So the brahmachari burst out crying and said, oh, I always wanted to come back to the temple, but I was too embarrassed to show my face. So, but now Guru Maharaj is calling me. So he ran there in a twinkling of an eye and fell at Prabhupada's feet, and Prabhupada at once took away all of his anarthas. So we don't know who the Gurudev is giving mercy to, and just by his External.
No, no. Actually, in very many, out of many years discussions with Srila Gaurav-Vindamaya, she said, like, how can you find your guru? In this age of Kali, your only way is by coming in through your ear. Drinking in through your ear, then you will understand who is who. So we have to find guru. So we must be able to find who is qualified as guru. So by hearing from those who are hearing most presently from Sri Guru, then we can know who's serving him the highest. By the fact that whatever they say always concurs with guru. Never you'll find a different word or a different instruction. So then we know who to serve.
We may know. Otherwise somebody may have a lot of gyan.
Otherwise how will we accept our guru? Because only by hearing how they speak of Krishna.
We can hope that
only by he's so qualified, he knows so much, my guru. He's so learned, so but in Kali Yuga this is our only qualification to find guru. It's by hearing. There is a way to understand who is the most ingrued.
There's a way, but I, at least for myself, I can't say who is most dear to Gurudev. So many of Prabhupada's disciples who were always with Prabhupada, and he would have them speak, and he would keep them with him, and they would be his regional secretaries. And at least we couldn't find, you know, things wrong that they were saying shastrically, and they were making the most devotees and distributing the most books. And then it turned out that they weren't actually the most favored by Prabhupada. So unless one is a madhyama madhyama, he's not qualified to judge where another person is at. It may be somebody that doesn't know any verses, or many verses, and who's very quiet. Like, for example, Gurudev said in Holland that suppose somebody's doing pujari work, and you know, he's doing it very beautifully with the fan and the handkerchief and everything, and he's thinking that that I'm doing arti. And then another devotee may be sitting in the back and absolutely nobody knows he's there. But he's weeping as he's watching the arti, thinking, oh, Lalita is doing the arti. And Gurudev said at Kartik one year, the person who gives the best lecture may be the most in Maya. So or the person who sings the best may be in the most Maya. So we can't know. We want to serve devotees who we think are near and dear. That's good. That's great. And we should serve all devotees. But we can't really know. If we've got a bona fide guru, that's mercy. That's special mercy. Not by our own qualification that we know that he's the bona fide guru.
Sometimes you'll hear Gurudev is given an instruction to one devotee, you know? You might say to someone, for instance, oh, you don't have to chant. Because in the spiritual world, gopis aren't chanting. All day they're serving. So I'll give you this benediction, oh, you don't have to chant Hare Krishna. And then another very great personality comes, and they say, oh, Gurudev, you know, he gave me this, like, and immediately that person knows. And he gives exactly the same instruction. Oh yes, that is correct. No, you don't have to chant. This is where the connection is. And they know Guru's heart. So then you can think, okay, this person is very near to Vijay Guru because he gives exactly the same instruction without a moment's hesitation. Because Gaurav-Vindamaya like that, any question you ask, like, within, like, bang, answer. No, never, oh, I have to think about it.
And you reminded me of something very interesting when you said knowing the Guru's heart, Gurudev said, actually our goal is that we become so intimate with Guru that he doesn't think he is my disciple, but that he thinks he is my heart. So then when Gurudev was speaking to the devotees about this, they said, well, that's such a rare thing. And Gurudev said, yes, it's rare, but that's what we want. Any other questions or comments? Loud.
In the story that you were telling about the devotee who was chastised and went away, you said that Prabhupada said that it took gallons of blood to make one disciple. I wonder if you could explain that.
It just means it takes so much energy and effort.
Spiritual blood.
Yeah. I work so hard to make a devotee, and then you just send him away.
Does that mean for so many lifetimes?
Could.
So that he's doing so much more work than we realize behind the scenes for all of us.
He's doing everything behind the scenes. Once, it was about, I don't know, 9 years ago, I was very sick for about a year. I couldn't do anything. Even if I spoke for 5 minutes to somebody, I would have to rest for 2 hours to make up for it. So, but finally then I got better and I came to Mawilambar. And in Mawilambar, I think this is at Prajapalava Prabhu's house, Gurudev said, she was so sick that I thought she was going to die, but now she is better. Of course, I didn't do anything, but I'm just saying that she's better. Meaning that he's doing everything. Like he said, Gurudev distributed the book. It's Gurudev's knowledge if the class comes out.
There was another incident you probably remember because you were with your Prabhupada at that time, that one devotee, after so many, like 5, 6, 7 years, he did so much, he went so many hard hours of service to Srila Prabhupada, and then after some time he became like, oh, you know, I'm getting very tired, and he went away from the devotees, and he was seen by the devotees in a park, sitting and smoking a cigarette, like that. And the devotees soaked him in the temple, and they spoke about it, and they were sort of, oh, he's in Maya, he's like, don't worry about him, you know. And then Prabhupada chastised very strongly the devotees and said, oh, you know nothing of that devotee. You know? Do you remember this? Yeah, I read this somewhere. You know, this. Then Prabhupada said, no, you know nothing of that devotee. He has done so many hard hours of service for me, you know. You should never think like that. You know? He is very, very dear to me. I know he's in something Maya now, but you know, he's very, very near and dear to me. Like Ashram Maharaj was telling you. Actually, this is the process. We should come in Vrindavan and...
But sometimes that can, you know, I don't know if you've heard anything or something you can say in particular. Sometimes, you know, devotees have a concern that someone may give more affection to a servant of Gurudev than to Gurudev's spouse, or they may feel that... how to approach that in a way that's healthy.
Well, it depends on one's mood. If one is fully dedicated to Guru and he's serving everybody else so that Guru will be pleased, and he's assisting everyone in their service to Guru, but his aim and objective and object of love is Guru, then that's good. But Gurudeva, Vaidyanti Maladidi, also knows that in Vrindavan and Mathura, when devotees took more interest and had more faith in Gurudev's disciple for various qualifications that that disciple manifested in terms of speaking well and things like that, then Gurudev was very disturbed when the devotee gave more more faith is the word. The thing is the inner thing, because I might not have the opportunity to do personal physical service to Gurudev, so my service is just like Gurudev. He was himself, or Srila Vaman Maharaj, they were cleaning the places for prasadam and then serving the plates and serving the salt and the lemons and then cleaning up after. And Srila Vaman Maharaj would carry the stools, he would clean the latrines and carry the pots of stool on his head, all in, you know, to show that he was the lowest and the other devotees of Param Gurudev were higher than him. But his aim and objective is that I love my Gurudev and I'm doing this to please my Gurudev. So it depends on the mood inside.
Myself, I have a very incredible, like, very different experience, and which maybe the other devotees here can relate. When we came in 1996 to meet Srila Gurudev, when we arrived in the airport in Delhi, we met Padmanabh Maharaj. And then we went in Kartik, Shamarin.
Yes.
And we were going on Parakram every day. And but we left Australia having witnessed this vicious diatribe, you know, vilification of Gurudev, which came from persons within ISKCON. One 13-14 page diatribe was given by ISKCON, and we went, oh, okay, that must be who we have to go and see. So we went immediately, like after 5 months, when Shishimad Gauravinda Maharaj had departed this world, we went to meet Gurudev in Mathura, Vrindavan, like that. And I was on Kartik with everybody. Every day I'm sitting in the bus, hours were going. And one of the devotees who was on that parakram, he stole my heart before Gurudev. So what do I do? You know, we came and we offered all respect and obeisances to Srila Gurudev, and we got, you know, some mercy. The first night we met Srila Gurudev, he said, oh, this, we came in Maturanath Chandrakala, Doyle Chaitanya, we sat in front of Gurudev in Keshiji Gauriamath and like that, and Gurudev is asking, and they're telling all these devotees are coming from Srishimad Gauravinda Swami, and you know, they have some faith that we should come to you, like this. And Srila Gurudev is saying, like, oh, do you have Brahman? If not, I can give. He said to me like this, and so on. So, but when you come in the association of a pure Vaishnava, he said that you should examine that person, or sometimes. You know all that? That's in Shastra. You should examine for some time. So I was like, you know, because of that diatribe, you know, it's like, oh, what to do, you know? I mean, they've written so many nasty things about Gurudev, I wish I hadn't read it or heard it or even seen it. But that created some sort of, like, you know, something. It's not possible that it won't create something.
So what's the question?
In my personal situation, another devotee who serves Srila Gurudev so near and dear stole my heart.
Oh.
On Kartik before Gurudev. And still that person is so strong in my heart, and never he will leave.
More than Gurudev now, do you say?
Absolutely everything complete equal with Gurudev. Not more, no.
It's according to our many, many millions of past lives of Sukritis and Sanskars, it determines all of our decisions and where we put our faith. I just wanted to mention one thing about one more song where Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur is praying that, oh Gurudev, please give me certain qualities, like the quality to be more humble and more tolerant than a tree, the quality to be able to taste the treasure of the holy name, the quality to be free from all material ambitions. Meaning that we can't attain any quality without the mercy of Guru, and therefore, and we're always trying to have qualities, but we can't attain any quality without him. Just like, please teach me to control my six urges, please give me the six kinds of good exchanges with devotees, please give me the six favorable things and take away my six unfavorable things. So these are all throughout, since we began the discussion tonight, going through the different songs, it's all different varieties of ways that we can remember Gurudev and pray and remember his qualities. And sometimes within remembering the qualities, we'll remember pastimes that exhibit his qualities. And that way we have a full day's engagement. When I was at the airport and I asked Gurudev, who's listening, when we're praying to all these different personalities, and he said, Gurudev's listening. And then I was so shocked that I said, wow, you're so significant in our life. We can't go to anyone without bringing you there, because we're not even going there. You're going there and you're asking them to give mercy to us. So I said, wow, you're so significant in our life. He said, not me, you're Gurudev, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Maharaj. I said, yeah, you're both. And then he said, no, I'm not so qualified. So in other words, he was admitting that how significant he is, and that we should meditate on that. Otherwise, if we think we can go anywhere without him, we can't. As I mentioned the other night, I previously thought that first you pray to Gurudev, and then you pray, then you leave him there, and pray to Vaishnavas, and then you leave them there, and then you pray to Guru Nitai. But we act, and I was wondering how come I never got anywhere when I was going to the next and the next. Because he has to be there always on the mind. The words that Gurudev used himself in Guru Charana Kamala, Guru Charana Kamala Bhajamam, is incessant and at every moment. And then we're successful. Any final questions? Did you have something to turn off?
We're just going back to something you said about not being able to recognize who was very dear to Guru. I was wondering, probably that the same concept applies to the Guru himself. In other words, if we can't tell who's qualified, you know, externally, we don't have the power to judge, we don't have that measuring rod to measure who is a Madhyama, who's a Madhyama, who is serving, then logically neither do we have that power of discrimination to tell who's also a Mahabhagya, in other words, who's qualified as a Guru.
Actually, you're very right. And when I told Gurudev in 1993, so our Prabhupada is a Mahabhagwat, and Gurudev, I said, so just like our Prabhupada is a Mahabhagwat, so, and I was going to say something else, and he said, how do you know he's a Mahabhagwat? Can you recognize the symptoms of a Mahabhagwat? You can only see the outer things, but you can't know what's going on in his heart. Just like two people are chanting Hare Krishna, but they're in two different worlds. So he said, how do you know I'm a Mahabhagwat? You don't know. You're hoping, but you don't know. Only one Mahabhagwat can recognize another Mahabhagwat. There's a verse about that no one, even the greatest scholar, can understand the activities of a Mahabhagwat. But by mercy, if we have mercy, Ekupe Brahmanda Bhomite Konya Bhagya Vanajiv Guru Krishna Prashade Pai Bhakti Lata Beach. The living entity is wandering through the various species, and when he has enough Sukritis and sanskars and the special mercy of Krishna, then he gets in touch with a genuine spiritual master. So you're actually correct. We don't have the qualification. Just like when I met Prabhupada, I was a drugged out LSD hippie. In fact, I was on LSD on the day that I met him. And my first question to him was, can I stay high on LSD or do I have to come down? Do you have some way that I don't have to come down? So he said, no, that is material, so it's temporary.
But the Sri Srimad Gauravinda Maharaj told so many times to us that our only facility, our only sense in this age is
that's
what is coming in by your ears. You can't see. You know, these eyes, like in Srimad Bhagavatam, the eyes and the tails of the feather of a peacock cannot see. And these eyes are the same. You can't see anything with these eyes. Totally blind, you know. But then that only sense and facility in this age, we do have is our hearing.
Hearing. Yet one person is hearing and going to somebody else.
Yeah, of course.
And somebody's hearing and coming to Gurudev.
But
so that's
Sukriti
and mercy.
I'm listening to what people tell them in this one for the rest of their lives, and they won't come here.
Any last question or comment?
So the same process that we use to recognize the guru, we can use that same process to recognize who is.
Who is also high in the estimation of Sri Guru.
So if we have mercy.
My point.
So, I mean, since this is sort of sensitive to the subject, maybe I can just say one thing I heard from my guru. He said, you do not have that measuring rod. You cannot tell who is subtle. You can't, that measuring rod is not with you. That touchstone is not with you. You know, basically, by our own power, we can't judge all the sadhus and say who is the guru. So he said, you should cry within your heart and cry and pray to Krishna. But, my dear Lord, I cannot recognize who is your real representative in this world. And then if we're crying still in that, Krishna can help us recognize who is.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that same process can be used to also pray to Krishna, who is a qualified servant on my guru that I can serve.
In fact, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur...
Chaitya Guru.
That's Krishna.
Within the heart.
In fact, Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur already thought of that for us, and he already wrote the song. Sakala saman korite sakati devanata jata jata. Please teach me, O Gurudev, how to respect everyone according to their qualification in bhakti, and also how to respect all living beings. And an easy way is to think that everybody's better than me.
That crying in the heart, then Krishna manifests Sri Guru. Then he appears. He comes. Can be in a hole 200 meters below the ground behind Ayers Rock. He'll come and find you. You can be anywhere trying to.
Mm-hmm.
Anywhere trying to hide from Gurudev. But he can find you anywhere in this world.
In Hawaii, a couple of years ago, Gurudev was staying at the house of Baba Tarini Didi, and she told me that so she would be there for Gurudev's darshans. And one husband and wife came, and Gurudev said to the husband, "Stop beating your wife." And he said, "Gurudev, I'm not beating my wife." Gurudev said, "Yes, you are." He said, "No, I'm not, Gurudev." And then Gurudev kept saying, "Yes, you are." And then he said, "Okay, I was, but I'm not now." So Gurudev said, "Yes, you are, I was there." So yes, he's everywhere whether we want it or not. Kaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bol Srila Gurudev Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. 2 minute kirtan? Yes.
Just announcement? Pardon, another Swami is giving class at the same time tomorrow night. And also, I'll lock the place up tonight, and if anyone wants the key, Tapna Prabhu will have it. 6 o'clock.
Locking what? This building?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. When everyone goes, we close the gate here. No, we just have to close the gate, because people are driving about, and they see the front gate, and they're going open, and they'll come up the air. When everyone goes.